Today is, as we've said, the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. In a certain way, it's celebrated as the first Sunday in Ordinary Time, since last Sunday we celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany. So we are at a beginning, the beginning of Ordinary Time in the Church's liturgical year, and of course the beginning of a new calendar year, 2024, in the year of our Lord. And whenever we're at the beginning of something, like a road trip or a hike to the top of a mountain, there are questions to be answered, if not explicitly, then at least implicitly. Where are we going? And how do we get there? And perhaps even, why are we going? Our readings in the scriptures today express this notion of beginning. In our first reading, we hear of the young prophet Samuel beginning to hear the voice of the Lord calling him and having to learn how to discern that call. In our second reading, it is a portion of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It has encouragement, but also admonition for new Catholics beginning to follow Christ in the community of faith that is the Church. It is a new way of life for them. And in our gospel reading, we hear about two disciples of John the Baptist, including our own patron saint, Andrew, leaving John and beginning to inquire about and follow the way of Jesus. You may know that the word way is used frequently throughout the sacred scriptures. It is a central concept. In the Old Testament, the word way often means a literal road or journey, but it's also commonly used as a figure of speech for the direction of one's life. Man's journey through life is a mystery that ends ultimately in physical death, which is the way common to us all. There's also a strong contrast in the Old Testament between the righteous ways of God and the wicked ways of men. In this sense, God's commandments are called His way, as opposed to the corrupt ways of the world. Thus, there are two ways before us as we start out and as we progress, one that leads to life, peace, and happiness, and the other that leads to difficulty, unhappiness, and permanent death. In the New Testament, these two ways are defined in the Gospels according to one's acceptance or rejection of Jesus. And finally, since Christ established the Church as the sacrament of His presence and grace in the world, it too is called the Way. As you may remember from the Acts of the Apostles, the early Christian movement was actually called the Way, at the same time as, and even before, Christians became known as Christians. Second Vatican Council continued this time-honored practice of referring to the Church as the Way. The Council's Constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium, declared that the Church, a pilgrim now on earth, is necessary for salvation. The one Christ is the mediator and the way of salvation. He is present to us in His body, which is the Church. He Himself explicitly asserted the necessity of faith and baptism, and thereby affirmed at the same time the necessity of the Church, which men enter through baptism as through a door. These two young children will pass through that divine, mysterious door which leads to life eternal as they are baptized in our font today. Now, today's scripture readings also give us some practical advice for those who would begin or begin anew the way of Christ in the Church. The first thing to note is that God calls us first. Everything, in fact, begins and ends with God. Even all the good that we may do in this life is initiated by the grace and the gifts we have received from Him, whether we are conscious of this or not. In the first reading, God began to call Samuel early in his apprenticeship with Eli in the temple at Shiloh. In the gospel reading, when John the Baptist had pointed his two disciples in the direction of Jesus when he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God," Jesus then invited the two of them to come and you will see. God initiates. He draws all people to Himself, but He often does so by using other people to help His followers find the way and persevere in it. Samuel needed the wisdom and experience of Eli to help him recognize that it was the Lord calling him in prayer during the night. Andrew and his friend needed the prophetic vision of John the Baptist to point out the Messiah and get them started in being his disciples. Our Catholic faith, from the very beginning, has been handed on from one person to another by evangelization and catechesis. We need the wisdom and experience of faithful Catholics in front of us, as well as beside us, to teach us and show us how it's done. That's why godparents for baptism and sponsors for confirmation and the RCIA are so important. We need the help of faith-filled people around us, in addition to our parents, to grow in this Christian way. We need, in fact, the whole community of faith, including the communion of saints in heaven, to help us know Christ and the Scriptures better, to help us learn the ways of prayer and the saving doctrines of the Church at every stage in our lives, and to help us avoid the pitfalls that the evil one invariably places in the path of every Christian. St. Paul is one such guide and friend for all of us in the Church. He gained his wisdom from God's grace, but also from his own mistakes made early in his life. He teaches us in our second reading today about one pitfall that is bodily immorality. Paul reminds us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that as Christians, we belong to God and we belong to one another. We were purchased at the price of the blood of God's own Son. So when a Christian persists in sins of immorality of the body, he or she actually weakens the whole body of Christ. Of course, we can be forgiven, but it's difficult to make significant progress in the way if we keep falling into the same hole. In the Beatitudes, which is Jesus's first teaching to his followers on the mountaintop, he says to them, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." That is our destination. That is the why of our journey. We want to see God face to face, for that is where all our human longing is directed. That is where the search for absolute truth and beauty, love and belonging will be ultimately fulfilled. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, at the same time the path and the destination and the power to get us there. Let us be strengthened for our way by this celebration of the Holy Eucharist, and let us celebrate the beginning of the Christian way for these two about to be baptized.